people are talking about this idea of phase two in our whole world of COVID. And the government, Dr. Cloud, our premier, Horgan, came out with some conversation around that. And so we as a staff and a leadership on Tuesday are going to be gathering together. We've been praying and doing some pre-work, and we're gathering together to put together some plans that will help us as a church ministry as we move forward into this next phase. And so we would just ask you to be in prayer with us, for us, as we lean into this. We're seeking God's direction and understanding and how we can do ministry, how we can, function as a church in these new times. And so please be in prayer for us on Tuesday. As I was sitting here in here, I was just so thankful for the band, Kim and your team, for leading us and just setting up just such an amazing tone in the presence of our God. I just want to pray to him now, and then we're going to dive into God's word, into John chapter 11. Let me pray. God, as we sang just a few moments ago, holy, holy, holy are you. We hail you. We lift you up. We recognize that you truly are God and we're not. And as we sang those words, God, as I sang them, it was just reminding me that I need you to be greater and have more influence and more say in my life. I can start to easily sort of wrestle those things away from you, and I start trying to make my own plans and my own decisions. And God, I just kind of confess that now, and I ask you to truly be the King, to truly be the Lord, to truly guide my life. I need it. And God, I suspect and expect that there are others tuning in this morning, gathered around this time, who are feeling the same way. So we look to you as our good and great God, our Savior. Would you guide us in these next few moments, but also, God, as we then enter into this week and as we do life. Thank you for being with us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, for any of you who know me, you know I have a bit of a man crush on Bill Murray. And no, I'm not going to talk to you this morning about What About Bob, even though that, I think, is my favorite movie. It's sort of a rite of passage into our family. Anyone who starts dating any of our kids needed to watch that movie, and that was important. but this morning, I want to just get us to think just a little bit about something that you feel like you're in, and you've certainly seen on social media, and that's Groundhog Day. You remember Bill, you know, he was the news reporter, cynical, sarcastic, very grumpy news reporter, right? And he had to go and he had to be a part and give this newscast from this thing called Groundhog Day, this whole thing in the town called Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. You know, the concept, a groundhog would come out, and if there was a shadow, that was bad, apparently. That meant for the next 6 weeks or so, they had more winter, and that was a bad thing. Well, in the movie, you probably remember that as he was going through it, he started experiencing the same day over and over and over again. And he wasn't too happy about it. Does that maybe sound a little familiar for you? Until one day, all of a sudden, he realized that he could actually maybe change the narrative a little bit. He actually had the ability to do things a little bit differently, and the whole plot would change. And I don't know about how you're feeling, but I think for some of us, we're feeling a little bit like it's same old, day after day after day. And I just want you to know this morning, we're going to hear some things from this story, from John chapter 11, story of Lazarus, that the narrative can change. The plot can change. And God wants to do that in our lives. The story this morning is an interaction as Jesus did, as he did with just everyday people. And as I was thinking about this, in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." And what was interesting about just the fact right off the top, those three people, is that these people were friends of Jesus. Friends of Jesus. Friends of God. What an amazing statement. Do you feel like God is your friend this morning? I want you to understand that he truly wants to be your friend. He wants to be my friend. Lazarus, as I mentioned, was the brother to Mary and Martha, and Lazarus was sick. And I'm not just talking a little man cold here. All right, Mary and Martha probably witnessed Lazarus have a man cold at some point. No, Lazarus was very sick. Now, Lazarus at this stage was about 30 years of age. And the sisters went to Jesus and they were asking him, and they sent a note and they were saying, "Hey, come, Jesus, we need you to come. We need you to help our brother." You see, they had seen Jesus interact, and they'd seen Jesus do some pretty amazing things. They had heard stories, and they were like, "Our brother needs that. Jesus, could you come? Would you come and help?" As you kind of carry along in the story, you discover fairly quickly that Lazarus ends up dying. Jesus ends up waiting a couple of days when he received the note and the call, and he didn't come right away. It's kind of an interesting little part of the story. He didn't rush to the town that was pretty close by, actually. Didn't come immediately. He waited a couple of days, and we recognize that Lazarus died. You may not be familiar with the story. You may be. Well, Lazarus did die. And I don't know how you'd feel if you were Mary or Martha. Why did you wait? Why didn't you come? We've heard of what you've done and who you are. I can only imagine what the frustration would be. And yet he didn't. He didn't come right away. Lazarus died. Matter of fact, the story says that he was in the tomb for 4 days, and I'm just going to turn it over now to Bryce, and Bryce is going to read for us a few of these verses from John chapter 11, starting at verse 17.
On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in his tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went up to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But now I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
Thanks, Bryce. Did you notice that? Right there at the beginning of what was read there. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days? What's that? Sort of three seems to be more of the biblical number, God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus was dead for 3 days. Why was it four? Is that a misprint, John? Did you lose your ability to count on your fingers? I don't know. No, actually, what was interesting was there was a belief in the Jewish culture at that time that the spirit of the dead person could go back and embody that person within 3 days, and they could rise again. Likely linked to the fact that Jesus did that. These are thoughts that had been considered after Jesus was raised from the dead. And John was obviously writing this after Jesus' life. And so he shared that. But you see, Jesus waited till the fourth day. Interesting little foreshadowing of of how Jesus is introducing the fact that he is God and he can do all things. Now, verses 21 to 24, we have this interaction between Martha and Jesus. If you'd been here, my brother would not have died, she says. And Jesus says, well, yeah, but your brother's going to rise. And Martha says, yeah, I know he's going to rise. He's going to rise in the resurrection on the last day. And so Martha understood and she recognized and believed in eternal life. She believed in the teaching and the things that Jesus had talked about, that there is a life now that we experience, but then there is also an afterlife. And she's like, yeah, no, I know Jesus. I got that lesson. I'm pretty sure I did okay on that one. He's going to rise, but Jesus, we know that more could have happened. More could have happened today. She makes an incredible statement of faith and belief that there is life after this life. Where are you on that? Do you have any sense of that? Like, are we one and done? Is this it? That's something for you to consider. She believed that there was going to be a last day, and there was going to be some sort of conversation, some sort of interaction. Some people might use the word, you know, some reckoning, some trying to justify and see, you know, did you really, were you a follower of Jesus? Like, did you care about him at all? Did you, consider him at all in your life or not? Did you choose to follow him? We talk about words of becoming a Christian or following or making him the Lord of your life. And those things are all true. That there's going to be a last day. She recognized that. And there's going to be this conversation, if you like. Did you truly trust me? Jesus is asking, did you really follow me? The resurrection and life. You see, Jesus is teaching us here in these words that there is a life to live. And if we choose to follow and if we choose to trust him now, we get the presence of God in our life. We get him and his healing and his restoring of all things, both now in this life, but also in the life afterlife. There's coming a day where this brokenness that we experience, these things that we see, that all things will be restored. It's going to be an amazing day. You see, just like first century Christians, just as those who walked with Jesus in the first century, just like us, I think we all recognize we live in a broken world. We live in a broken world. We see it all around us. The pain, the suffering, the hurt. And yet we hope. And we pray, don't we? And don't we live for better days? Not just better days, life after life days, but don't we live and aren't we, we're trying to see a better hope for today? There is a future hope, but that's in the future. You see, we live in the here and now. We live in the here and now. And followers of Jesus, those who trust him, those who heard him, were called to live and expected, really, to bring his grace, his mercy, his generosity, his love, justice. We'll get to more of that in a minute. Now, in this interaction where Martha and Jesus are having this conversation back and forth, you know, why didn't you come? If you'd have come, you'd have been changed. And yeah, I know he's going to be raised again in the life after life, but Jesus, what about now? And Jesus responds to her in verse 25, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And I don't know about you, but I'm like, Jesus, didn't Lazarus just die? I mean, didn't you recognize, as you said, you came and it was 4 days after he'd been in the tomb. We put people in a tomb because they're dead, right? What are you saying there? It's a powerful statement. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, and even though they die, they will live. There is a life after life, but it's not just a life after life. See, those who live by believing in me will never die. There's this concept, this idea that Jesus wants to come and to bring us hope and to bring us life and to restore us now. There is the future, the life after life, absolutely the hope of heaven, and honestly, that is going to be unbelievable. But there's the here and now. And Jesus came to give us life in the here and now. Yes, there is the resurrection, the race to life after this life. But what about here? What about now? What do we do with the sorrow? What do we do with the suffering, the injustice, and the pain? Well, Jesus wants to come and he wants to interact and he wants to bring healing and he wants to bring freedom and he wants to bring grace and mercy, hope and help in our times of need, in our suffering. I am the resurrection and the life. I have defeated death. I've defeated sin. I've defeated the brokenness. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Can you come and you enter in? It's interesting in different parts of the New Testament and parts of the letters that were written and sent around to the early church and those who were first century followers of Jesus. There's a number of places where the authors talk about how the power, right, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, from the grave, that same power is available to us today. In whatever it is you're experiencing, whatever. Maybe you believe he really is the resurrection and the life, and that the life after life idea, that he can really raise us from the dead then, but what about now? What about now? But often, many places, it's referenced that the same power of God, the same power that raised him from the dead, is made available to us who choose to believe and to live in his way, to allow God to live through us, that we will receive the power of the Spirit of God to live in the here and now, and not just anticipate the life after life, but to be able to experience and live with God now. It's as we live in the day-to-day. It's as we learn to follow him, his ways, his teachings, his thoughts. It's as we believe in Jesus and who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and when we orient our life that way, I can tell you, the narrative changes. The plot changes. and we begin to experience the filling and the empowering presence of God, the hope, this overcoming ability that not in our own strength, but through the power of God, that we can overcome. To not allow life, if you like, just to have its way. I mean, I think we can all agree and admit this kind of caught us by surprise a few months ago, didn't it? And life can be like that. Life can be like that. Life will happen, but how do we live through it? You see, today's a new day. It's a brand new day with God at our side. Tomorrow's going to be another brand new day with God at your side. Jesus asked the question there in verse 26. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? It's not a rhetorical question. It's frankly not a question really to be taken lightly. It's not a question that's just sort of a mental assent kind of question. Oh, yeah, no, I believe that. Yep, no. No, like, do you believe it? Is it something that is taking over at the core of who you are? Is your belief in Jesus becoming, if you like, your operating system? Like how you process the world in which you find yourself in. I mean, is it possible that Jesus really is the resurrection and the life? Is it possible that Jesus really was raised from the dead? Do you believe or not? Is it possible that there's more than just what we see, that there's a greater purpose beyond just day in and day out? That Jesus really is the giver and sustainer and restorer of life, the healer, the forgiver, the offer of grace and mercy, that although we will die, we will not really die. That in Christ we will just continue on. That there is this life, but there's a life after this life. Do you believe this? It's interesting. We skipped over it in the first part of chapter 11. It's referenced there where Jesus said, well, no, Lazarus is just asleep. And you see, in their teachings of that day, in their thoughts of that day, because of the life after life, they talked about the first death as just being kind of just going to sleep. Why? Because you're going to have the afterlife. Can you really believe that? Can you believe that today we can experience and understand and have the presence of God? Why? Because He lives. Why? Because He conquered the grave. I love these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Some words that Paul wrote, starting at verse 7. Says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasure is this the teaching, the presence, the story of God and all that He is and all that He wants to do. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. There's this fascinating correlation between death bringing life. Now, I'm not much of a gardener, but I'm trying. And I've been told that even though my tulips are dead, they're not. Something's going on. And don't start pulling the leaves away and all that, because you're going to ruin things. You need to let them die so that they will come back to fuller life. It's a truism, both in gardening and both in our life. We need to learn how to die to ourselves, meaning turning away from our own ways, our own powers, and turning to our God, turning to Jesus. Goes on in verse 16, says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, some of us more than others. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Love those verses. Such an encouragement to me that we are being renewed day in and day out through God. God wants to empower us. He wants to, if you like, dream again. I want to have Bryce read for us again the next set of verses, starting at verse 38.
Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been in there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, for I knew you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Then he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go.
I love what we hear right at the beginning of what Bryce read for us there. Thank you. Jesus once more deeply moved. Deeply moved. We get a sense of the character of our God. That he cares for us in the midst of our struggle and our pain, as he was around Mary and Martha and those who were mourning over the death of their friend. Jesus was deeply moved. You see, he is in touch with our experience and our pain as we live in this broken world. He wept. We often read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the records of Jesus' life where he was moved and filled with compassion as he saw the pain of the world around us. See, the brokenness of this world was not his idea. It is not his idea. The brokenness of this world, the pain and suffering that we experience was through the entering of sin and its outplay in our day-to-day life. Love it. Verse 43. Many of you knew this was coming. Some of you maybe didn't. Well, yes, Lazarus was dead. He was in the tomb for 4 days. But in verse 43, he calls out, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. It's crazy. It's a miracle. Can you believe this? It's a miracle. He was 30 when he died. History tells us that he actually lived on to be about 60 or so. And he came out. He was raised. I love the picture of this, though. Although Lazarus came out, he was still sort of all wrapped up. And I guess those of you who, I don't like some of those crazy shows, I don't even know what they are. Maybe you're familiar with this. Look, but what I love about the picture of this isn't so much that he's wrapped up and he's all like this, is that all of a sudden Jesus calls out to those that are near. Says, can you help him? Could you help release him and let him go? What a great picture. that we need God to do what God can do and what only God can do, but we need one another as we experience this life and as we learn to experience the life-giving power of our God. So the question I have for us this morning, one of them is, could it be that Jesus cares about you? Could it be that Jesus cares about the messy situation you're in? It mentioned in there that, you know, this idea that it could be really stinking in there, Jesus. And if you talk to those first responders who've maybe showed up to places where a body has been for a few days, I can tell you that is one unique odor. Have your life turned into that? Is there a unique odor to your life? Have you kind of messed things up a little bit? Could it be that Jesus cares? Do you need him to come in and to radically change things? Because it's a new day every day when Jesus is with us. You may need a miracle today. It may not be that you're dead. If you're dead, I hadn't really thought that through. How is that going to work? But you may need the touch of God, a miracle, of him helping you, the power of God in your everyday life, in these COVID days. Maybe in your days of addiction. Maybe in those depressive moments or seasons that you're going through. Maybe there's some sort of marital challenge that you need God's power and presence to breathe life into that situation. Maybe you're in need of some financial life. You need God to step in. I encourage you to sign up for that course, to work alongside with God helping you there. Maybe you've got a coworker or a boss that you need God to step in and do something new. Maybe it's in your family. Folks, we worship the resurrection and the life. There is going to be a life after life. Lazarus was raised from the dead. God has that power, that ability. That power and ability is available to you and I. Do you believe this? Can you lean into this? Can you trust him for this? I pray that you will. That you'll fix your eyes not on what is seen, all these things around us, but our God who is among us. Let me pray. God, thank you for this story, this reminder that you enter into our everyday life, that you care. Thank you for this reminder that you truly are the resurrection and life, that you have overcome, and that you offer us your presence and the power of the Spirit and the wisdom for the here and now. There is a life after life, and that's going to be glorious, where there is no pain or suffering. There's no fear. But God, we are in the here and now, and so we are learning. I would pray that we are believing in you. May you help us to follow you, to learn to trust you with all of our life, in the everyday, that we might experience something brand new from you. Our God, our Savior, the resurrection and the life. We pray in Jesus' name.